the voices of those who lead us at the district level. Heard several district representatives sign in this morning, and it's so good to have members of our Supreme Council on the phone with us each day. It's also good to have several of our grand officers on the phone. Almost every day we are accompanied by more than one of our grand officers, and we thank you so much. Let me quickly announce Dr. Knox the phone that on November the 4th, which is the first Sunday night of November, but the Sunday night before election, we're declaring that as a national day of prayer. You'll hear more about this. Dr. Marin is joining us, and we'll be giving opening remarks at the 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Daylight Time prayer call. But all that day, we want to call that the National Day of Prayer by Omega. Omega National Day of Prayer, as we go to the Lord and ask him to help us with this election by giving us the desires of our hearts. We know that you will join us on that prayer call that night, inviting not only you to be on the prayer call, but invite your family members, your significant others, your sweethearts and your wives to join us on that call that evening. Thank you so much for your anticipated response to this request. That's November 4th at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Daylight Time, National Day of Prayer, all that day, concluding with a prayer call. Our grand bosselist will lead us in a time of meditation, and I will give the prayer. Thank you so much for your anticipated response to this request. It's always good to have Grand Bosselist number 40 on the phone, and it's my delicious delight and my privileged pride to introduce him to our phone call again. I speak of none other than Grand Bosselist number 40, Dr. Tony Knox. Dr. Tony Knox, would you address us at this time as we all rise in spirit to salute you and thank you for your constant support of this call.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Doctor. Thank you. And I rise in spirit to you, brothers. Brothers, as Dr. Richardson has announced, a National Day of Prayer led by Omega, it can't be anything better. And how timely it is, as it's just before the election, that we don't have any choice except to get out and win it and win every seat, put people in that care about you and I. But brothers, this morning, as we did before, when the storm was coming, we gathered and we prayed for each other, we prayed for mankind, and brothers, we need to do that now as Michael threatens to come in off the coast of Florida and threatens to come in. It's going to be fast moving. Hopefully it won't have the damage that Fran did, but prayer changes things. And it was started out to be a 4 when it was coming on the East Coast, but I believe it was prayer that changed things, and Florence came in at a 2 and another 1 and some. So, brothers, let's please send up that message and protect our brothers down off the Florida coast and the Gulf Coast as well. Brothers, as we go forward, we're going to hear a lot about the nominations and a lot about the election. Let's take the lead on it. Let's take the lead as we recognize there's seats that have to turn to be able to support the things that are important to our community and to our families and to our children. And so let's be that organization that we're chosen to be, go out and take that lead. While we get up and we pray for each other, we pray for mankind, there's nothing better that we could be doing at this time of day. Reverend Doctor, I thank you for your vision and continuing. I thank Brother Powell for his vision and getting us started, and all the chaplains for your implementation, participation, and all the prayer warriors, because you make the call. Brothers, I can't thank you enough. But I thank you, and I love you all.
Dr. Knox, we thank you as well, and thank you for your encouragement and for your information, and that you always give us inspiration. I might add that one of the people that is in that path is, I have a granddaughter, and I have a niece that's in Tallahassee attending school at Florida A&M University, and that school has already evacuated. And there are no more classes being held as young people prepare to join their families, but necessarily to leave campus. And so I'm affected directly and ask that you would pray for not only my granddaughter and my niece, but all those who are affected by this this storm. And as Dr. Knox has indicated, God does change things through prayer. And we're praying that God will spare lives and will spare property with this storm. May God bless you again, Dr. Knox. It's always good to be on the phone on a terrific Tuesday when we're greeted and we are fed spiritually by the relevant and reliable and anointed and appointed voice of the Fourth District Chaplain, Brother Relaford, Elder Relaford, and ask him now to come in his own way and bless us as he normally does. God bless you, Elder Relaford.
Anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me, anointing fall on me. Let the power of the Holy Ghost fall on me, anointing fall on me. Good morning, my brothers, and certainly that is always the prayer, is that the anointing of God would not only fall on me, but would fall on us, because we know that through the anointing, all yokes are broken. Today, my brothers, we are dealing with Walk 283, and it's dealing with the Passion of the King, and it comes from Matthew, the 26th through 28th chapters. And just this pericope, passage, text, however you want to refer to it alone, should all make you want to say hallelujah. Because it's only through this stretch of scripture that we are here on today. And we see in chapter 26, the King's Last Supper. And that deals with the Passover. In chapter 27, we see the king's crucifixion, which deals with the passion. And in chapter 28, we see the king's resurrection and proclamation. And certainly it's that resurrection that should make us all want to jump up and down and say hallelujah. When we look at the 26th chapter, we see Matthew has completed his collection of the teachings of Jesus. Now, in a powerful and moving narrative, he tells the story of the passion of Jesus. After the plotting of the chief priests and rulers and the symbolic anointing of Jesus in the house of Simon the leper, there follows the beautiful account of the Last Supper. Then Matthew records in great detail the agony in Gethsemane, Judas's betrayal of his master with a kiss, the denial of Jesus by his most outspoken disciple, Peter. The chapter ends on the tragic but hopeful note that Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus and the gospel writers saw great significance in his anointing by the woman in Bethany. It was a premonition of his coming death and a beautiful act of adoration at a time when almost all were rejecting him. The struggle, yes, my brothers, the struggle the struggle that we deal with each and every day when we are caught in between good and bad, up and down. The struggle in Gethsemane was real. If Jesus had not been able to win the victory and pray, "Thy will be done," the world would still be without a Savior. Jesus had to go through that agony alone. But the Last Supper with his disciples and the exhortation to do this in remembrance of him gives a continuing invitation to his followers to share as deeply as they can in his sacrifice and suffering. The celebration of the Lord's Supper, an almost universal observance in Christendom, is the visual embodiment of the truth of this passage. Jesus was portrayed and denied by his own disciples. The supper calls us to a soul-searching self-examination. We, too, are capable of denying and betraying him. The supper calls us all to a deeper spiritual union with Christ in his suffering and death for us. Visible signs speak more eloquently than words. The simple elements of bread and the fruit of the vine are a reminder of our dependence upon God for physical sustenance and upon the sacrifice of Christ's body and blood for spiritual rebirth. In 27, when we look at the passage, Passion, the most heartbreaking story in the history of the world is told in this one chapter. Jesus was taken after daybreak from the high priest's house to Pontius Pilate. When Judas saw what happened, he knew what was coming and could not face it. Slinging the betrayal money down in the temple, he went out and hanged himself. Pilate, he is portrayed as willing or even anxious to release Jesus. The crowd would not have it, even choosing the infamous criminal Barabbas rather than Jesus. Pilate had Jesus scourged and then delivered him over to be crucified. Oh, the quiet agony of the cross is told with amazing detail and great dignity. The soldiers gambling for his robe, the thieves on either side, the mocking scribes and priests, they are all there. And when the horrible deed is finished, a relative stranger, Joseph of Arimathea, and the faithful women are there to take him down for burial. This chapter ends on the pathetic attempt of the priests and Pharisees to seal the tomb and keep him there. Only Matthew tells us that some of the saints arose and came out of their graves after the resurrection of Jesus. Some interpreters discount this completely because only Matthew mentions it, and they do not trust his historical sources. It is important to notice what is said. These are not called resurrections such as Jesus' experience. They simply appeared to many who knew them in Jerusalem and apparently disappeared again. There is no suggestion that they continued to live on in a genuine resurrection from the dead. The overwhelming truth for us today is that we cannot blame the death of Jesus on someone else. We brothers, are guilty of doing the self-same things today. We deny him, forsake him, or even betray him to his enemies. Like the disciples, we can be more concerned with our sleep than with the agony of Jesus for a lost world. We can even join the crowd that mocks him on his cross or the soldiers that gamble for his robe while he dies for them. Matthew holds up a mirror in this chapter. If we look carefully, we may see ourselves. Most biographies end at the grave. But for this life, the grave is just the beginning. Matthew ends his gospel on the triumphant note of the resurrection of Jesus and his commission to his disciples to go to the ends of the earth, making the disciples. Brothers, we know that we have a responsibility to make new brothers, but our biggest responsibility in Christ is to make more disciples, to win the world and to save the lost. The faithful women, especially the two Marys, are singled out by Matthew as the last to leave the body of Jesus at his burial and the first to the tomb on Easter morning. To them, the angel gave the first news of the resurrection. He is not here, for he is risen, and as he said, hurrying to tell his disciples, they meet Jesus on the way. Falling at his feet, they worship him. Even the enemies of Jesus are shaken by this momentous event. The frantic guards run from the tomb to the chief priest and are paid off to tell the fictitious story that his disciples stole his body away. This saying is still being reported among the Jews at the time of the writing of this gospel, some 50 years later. You know, when we talk about the Great Commission, what does that mean? It means that we are to make disciples in all nations. It means that we are to baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It means that we're to teach them to observe all of his commandments. To this great commission is added the promise, which has sustained his followers in the face of suffering, pain, and death. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. You know, brothers, we love each other and we share that love each and every morning. But I don't think any of us can tell each other that I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Every disciple who has gone out in the strength of this promise can testify that it has always proven true. From the highest mountain to the deepest valley, in joy and in sorrow, in life and in death, not one of his disciples has he ever forsaken. The account of the angel of the Lord descending and rolling back the stone is taken by some to mean that the stone was rolled away to let Jesus out of the tomb. This misses the whole point. Jesus had already risen. The stone or closed doors and walls presented no barrier to him. The stone was rolled away to let his followers in, to let men see the place where the Lord lay. This is another element in the remarkable testimony to the resurrection of Jesus. The tomb was empty. The overwhelming significance of the resurrection today lies in this one fact: Jesus Christ is alive and reigning in the midst of his disciples. The resurrection is not just an ancient record in history. True, it is an actual historical event, and the evidence for it is of absolute importance. But a person could believe that Jesus arose from the dead and still be utterly lost and without hope in the world. One must meet the risen Christ himself. The evidence of the Christian writings of all of the New Testament and witnesses of Christians through the centuries make their contribution to the belief in the resurrection of Christ. Certainly, brothers, we want to make sure that we continue on with that. And just a little note, it said, death died when Christ arose. Death died when Christ arose. And brothers, as you go through the day, remember, you all be at peace. You know, as we get ready to turn to the precious throne of grace, let's touch and agree and let's be on one accord that God would hear our prayer and listen to our petition and meet our need as we go through the precious throne of grace. Eternal God, our Savior and our Lord, we thank you once again for us also, Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, God, we thank you for how you watched over us last night, how you woke us up this morning. Lord, how you gave us a mind to pick up the phone and to call in. Why? So that we could touch you, oh, God, that we could reach out to you, oh, God, that we could offer up our repentance for the day, Lord, and that we could listen to you and hear, live on. Lord, we're praying today for all of those brothers that went to bed on last night, Lord, and we're especially praying for the family of those who didn't get up on this morning. Oh, God, we're asking that you would search out the hospital rooms, the nursing homes, oh, God, that you would look upon each and every one of our physical homes, Lord, and if there's anything in there that's not like you, we're asking, dear God, that you would take it out right now, that you would allow the blood of Jesus Christ to be applied to our life. Lord, you said no weapon formed against us would prosper. So it's with that in mind that we reach out to you in this very hour, dear God. Lord, we're asking that you would just be with us, that you would strengthen us, that you would encourage us to run on, that we might see you in that great getting up morning, oh God. Lord, we're praying today for each and every brother that's on this line. We're praying that you would touch them from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet. Lord, anything that's in them, Lord, we're praying that you would touch their bodies, oh God. Things that are revealed, things that are not revealed. We're praying that you would move even now, dear Lord. Stretch out your hands and touch them. Lord, we're praying for healing. We're praying for deliverance, Lord. Touch now, dear God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, we're praying again for your mighty traffic cop, Brother John Wesley Gumby. Look on him on today, Lord. Continue to strengthen and encourage him, oh, God. Continue to put that peace of God in his heart, Lord, as he continues to offer up in prayer, Lord, our senior brothers across this land. We're praying, dear God, that they would not get weary, oh, Lord, that they would recognize that we're yet standing in the gap for them, oh, Lord, that we're yet offering them up, oh, God. Don't allow the enemy to mess with them. Don't allow the enemy to touch them, oh, God. But, Lord, keep them focused on you. In the name of Jesus, oh, God, we're praying for our grand officers, oh, God, praying that you would touch them, Lord, that you would order their steps, for we know that the steps of a good man, yes, Lord, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Look on our former grand bachelors, GB40, oh, God, touch him right now. We're praying for his family, his children by his side. We're praying, dear God, that you would continue to give him favor, Lord. But, Lord, we're praying for our GB41, that you would continue to crown his head with wisdom and knowledge from above, oh, God. Lord, that you would move in him like never before, Lord, that you would strengthen his time, his legacy, oh, God, his focus of this fraternity, oh, God, that, Lord, we would do some things that are not expected, oh, but we would exceed the level of the expectation. Oh, God, look on us right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we're praying for our undergraduate brothers across this land. We're praying for the brothers on the Supreme Council, oh, God, that they would offer wise counsel. We know that it's through a multitude of counsels that there's safety, oh, God. Lord, look on us right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we're praying right now that you would just continue to bless each and every one of the district representatives, oh, God, and especially my own district, the 4th District, Elder Bobby Robinson. Look on him today, dear God. Touch him in this very hour, Lord, that he would continue to move and do what you've called him to do. Oh, God, we're praying for those brothers that are dealing with mental health and alcohol and substance abuse. Oh, God, we're praying that you would continue to look on them right now, dear Lord. Lord, we're praying that they would recognize the issues that are taking place in their lives, oh, God, and that they would reach out and find the necessary help, oh, God, that they continue forward. Lord, continue to hold up Brother DeVault as he continues to cry out and lay out for these brothers that are truly struggling and going through. And, Lord, we know that it's nothing but the enemy, but, oh, God, You said to cast all our cares upon you, for you care for us. So we're trusting and depending on you in this very hour. Look on us, Lord, like never before, and like only you can. Oh, God, we're praying for Brother Larry King, oh, God, as he continues to uphold the Bevel family, Lord. We're praying for them right now in the loss of Henry Bevel Jr., oh God, 84 years old, oh God. We're praying for him right now, dear Lord, as he's been placed in hospice care. Lord, we're praying that you would bring peace and comfort to that family, that you would let them know, Lord, that they love him, but you love him more. Oh God, continue to make his latter days better than his former days, oh God. Strengthen him even now as he lies in hospice, oh God. Lord, we know that one touch from the Master can make all things whole. Touch him right now in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, we thank you right now for what you did for little Miles Aaron Tatum, the grandson of Brother Oren Ellis, Lord. We're thanking you, Lord, how you have brought him through the surgery, Lord, and how he might even be able to go home. Look on that family right now and encourage them in this very hour. Oh, God, we're thanking you for our own brother, Dr. Edwards, oh, God, as he lifts up Brother Clarence Brown and his wife, Doris, on the passing of her mother, Shelley Studevant. Lord, pray for, we're asking for special greetings and touchings for this family, oh, Lord. Help them in their hour of bereavement. Encourage them right now. Let them know that they're not alone, oh, God, but there's many that love them that's stretching and holding them up in this tough hour, this tough situation. Oh, God, but we know that weeping may come in the night, but joy comes in the morning. Move on them right now, dear God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, we're praying for Brother Dexter Davis and family on the loss, oh, my God, of two brothers, oh, Lord. Lord, it's tough enough to lose one sibling, but to lose two in the matter of 2 days has to be gut-wrenching, Lord, and we're asking that you would dispatch a band of angels right now, dear God, that would encircle this family, that would encourage them in this very hour, oh, God. Look on them like only you can, oh, God. Strengthen them, encourage them, and let them know, dear God, that you're yet standing by their side. Oh, God, we're praying for Brother Daryl Hicks today, who's requesting prayer for Mrs. Pollard, the mother of Brother Michael Pollard, oh God. We're praying for her as she's been dealing with cancer and now has gone on to the next stage of hospice. Oh God, move in that hospital room right now, dear God, and bring peace and comfort to the family. Oh God, we thank you for our evangelist, Brother E.D. Hall, how he continues to reach out for those around him. Lord, we're praying right now, and we're thanking you for just how you brought Debbie Yeager and Dan Hicks through their surgeries and how they're recovering extremely well. We know the doctors can cut, but only you can heal, oh God, and we're thanking you even now. Lord, continue to look on our cancer patients and the recovery of Johnny Core, Beverly Eaton, and Brother Edward Fuller. Touch the cancer patients of Zoe Barnes and Rodney Batts and Darnella Gaskin Barnes. Lord, we're praying for Gladys Herndon in this hour, as well as little Malia Spears. Oh, God, touch Stephen Murphy and Virginia Jackson, who are both dealing with myopathy. Lord, we continue to uphold the sister of our own, Brother Ed Hall, Sister Ava, Lord, as she continues to deal with diabetes and the challenges that come with that disease. Oh, God, we're praying for Aunt Franny Hall and Minnie Doris Cummings, who are both in assisted living facilities. We're praying, Lord, that they would find complete treatment there. Lord, that there would be nice treatment. Lord, that they wouldn't be left to their own situations. Lord, but you would put love in that situation. Lord, we're thanking you and praying for Brother Grand Bachelor's Edward Brand, Lord, as his caregivers, as he continues to deal with the challenging of aging. Lord, we know that it's in your name, dear God, that demons will flee. Lord, it's in your name that diabetes will be eradicated. It's in your name, dear God, where high blood pressure will be regulated. In your name, oh God, where cancer will be eradicated. In your name, Lord, where loneliness will leave. In your name, Lord, where all mental health will be dealt with. It's in your name of deliverance, oh God. Lord, at the name of Jesus, all enemies shall flee, oh God. Lord, we thank you for what you did on the cross, how you rose again that we might have an option of eternal life. Look on us, dear God, as we leave this place, but not thy presence. Touch each and every brother. Jesus' name that we pray. Thank God. Amen, amen, and amen.
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 Have a good day, brothers.
Yeah, brothers.
Have a nice day, brothers.
Amen. Have a good day, brothers. Yes, brothers.
Pray for me. God
be the glory.
Thank you, Brother Rutherford.
God bless you, my brother.
Elder Rutherford.
To God be the glory.
What a blessing.
Thank you, Elder.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God. Thank you for that word, brother. Amen.
Yeah, thank you, Brother Rutherford.
My brother, Elder Gumby.
Amen.
Yes.
Yes, God. Amen.
Yeah, pray for my brother, Robert.
Matter of fact, hallelujah.
Robert.
Okay.
All right.
Yes. Let's just
hallelujah
right now.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Father God, we're coming to you on this half right now. You heard the testimony of Brother John Wesley Gumby as he lifts up his brother. Lord, we're praying for his brother right now in this very hour. Lord, you know the situation. You know all about it. There's nothing hid from you. We're praying that you would just stretch out your mighty hand right now, that you would touch him, that you would strengthen him, oh God, and that you would deliver him. Encourage Brother Gumby that you got his brother in the palm of your hand. And, Lord, we know whatever's in the palm of your hand cannot be plucked out. So we're asking, dear God, that you would visit him right now. Touch this family. Encourage them and let them know that you're yet standing there, Lord, and they can always turn to you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen.
Thank you, Elder.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, brother.
Amen.
God, we're praying for your brother.
Amen.
Amen.
Brother.
I'll tell you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Yes, sir, Brother Gumby.
Yeah.
Yes, sir, Brother Gumby. Thank you, Elder Rutherford, for your sensitivity
yes,
to the Spirit.
Thank you, Brother Grant.
Yes, sir.
Brother Gumby's brother Charles.